Just imagine what it was like. They were all Jewish. The disciples whom Jesus gathered, men and women from Galilee, others from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, even Jesus himself. They were all Jewish by faith, by tradition, by heritage. They were the people of God, the God of their ancestors, the descendants of the patriarchs and matriarchs, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, also known as Israel, and his wives Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, Zilpah, who between them had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. They were all children of Israel. They were all of one faith. They were all of one God. So just imagine how these disciples gathered together by their rabbi Jesus, how they found it difficult to understand how these Gentiles, these outsiders, these people who grew up worshiping other gods in other faiths with other traditions, who didn't even know the God who sent Jesus, how were they suddenly becoming part of us? Imagine how strange and bizarre and difficult to grasp it seemed to them. But Peter, they must have said, Peter, we are Jewish. Jesus is Jewish. Jesus is the one sent to the people of Israel by the God of Israel. I mean, we understand that his teaching, his good news of God, of mercy and hope, we understand how that might be attractive, how they might want to be a part of it. It's wonderful if they want to follow Jesus, but he is Jewish, and to follow him, they need to become Jewish just like us. The very idea that Jesus, his message, his reign, his way of living might be for more than just the children of Israel, this idea was just being born. This revelation was just coming into existence through the Holy Spirit. Today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles is just one of several stories revealing one after the other God's intention to transform not just Israel, but the whole world. To bring about a reign of justice and grace and love in a way that was bigger than any of them could imagine. To all people. Imagine that. It might seem strange to us because we live so much further down the road after God multiplied grace, after God rewrote reality. But for them, in that day, this was shocking. Exciting, yes, but unexpected. New, confusing, maybe controversial as they wrap their minds around the unexpected bigness of God's grace. In today's story, Peter says, I had a vision from God to help me understand God was bringing the good news to those beyond the children of Israel, to the Gentiles, which literally just means not Jewish people. In the surrounding chapters, there's the story of an Ethiopian eunuch who asked to be baptized, who was filled with the Spirit, a man from a different nation, likely a different faith, a man who, because he was a eunuch, would have been considered an outsider. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Philip baptizes him into Christ's body. Then there's the story of Saul, a Jewish man who is persecuting Christians. He was knocked from his horse by a blinding light from Jesus. He was renamed Paul. He not only became a Christian, he became the preeminent apostle to the Greek and Roman world. These stories and more reveal how the earliest church leaders suddenly began to see this astonishing, unexpected, and amazing good news that God in Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, was pouring out grace and mercy and salvation, God's life-giving new life, not just on the people of Israel, but on all people. Here again, the end of that reading. Peter said, "And as I begin to speak to the household of Cornelius, a Gentile man, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just like it had on us. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Spirit. And I realized if God gave them the same Spirit that God gave us when we believed in Jesus, who was I to say no to God?" And then all in the house praised God. All who had been saying, "Wait, could this be?" They all praise God, saying, "God has given to the Gentiles the repentance, the transformation of heart that leads to life." Friends, this is the good news. God in the resurrection of Jesus brings new life again and again and again, continually, without ceasing. New life in new ways that we could not have expected. The Bible and the history of the church are filled with examples. From the sending of the first apostle, a woman, Mary Magdala, Mary, the Tower of Faith, to the revealing of the good news to the people beyond Israel, as we've heard today in Acts, to the revelation by Paul in his letter to the Christians in Galatia that in Christ not only is there neither Jew nor Greek, but also neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. That all people of every status in their society were God's beloved. In church history, there are so many times from the gradual but sweeping growth of the abolitionism movement, the ending of slavery, the adoption of anti-slavery and anti-human trafficking as a universal Christian belief, from the suffrage movement giving women the right to vote, to the labor movement seeking justice for workers, to the civil rights movement seeking racial justice and equality for persons of color, to the equal rights movement seeking justice and equality for women, from the raising up of women in many denominations as pastors and bishops, ministries of the church which before were only allowed for men, to the marriage equality movement seeking justice and equality for same-gender couples, time and time and time again, the church, the people of God have joined to fight for justice, to proclaim mercy and love for people. So many people whom Christians in earlier generations would have never ever expected the church to take a stand for. This is the good news. God's love and the understanding of God's people about what it means to live out Jesus' commandment to love one another continues to grow and expand and deepen until, as the book of Revelation of John proclaims for the end of all things, until all people and all of creation find hope and joy and completion in God's love. Time and again, century by century, the good news of God's love, God's salvation, God's transformation proclaimed for all people has impacted the world, changed the world, transformed the world, bringing new and unexpected proclamations of life in God for God's creation. The Bible and the whole of church history bear witness to this good news. That human understanding of God's love continues by the leading of the Holy Spirit to deepen and broaden, complexify and intensify. Love one another. These are the words of Jesus that guide us in hearing, in following, in trusting. Just as the disciples whom Jesus shared the story of Cornelius' family with, just as they shouted, "God has even given the gift of saving love to Gentiles," so in every age have the faithful people of God echoed those words in new unfolding ways. God has even given the gift of saving love to those people. God has even given the gift of saving love to these people. God has even given the gift of saving love to our enemies. God has even given the gift of saving loves to the ones I never knew I could love. Friends, I believe this is what we're doing in this reconciling in Christ process that we've been talking about for months. Deciding if we're ready to stand up for some whom the world marginalizes. Deciding if we're willing to say out loud, "Welcome to all people." This decision is not about the politics of today. We've been moving step by step, slowly but surely, toward this for so many years. This decision is simply about what we believe God is doing, where Christ is leading, what the Spirit is placing in our hearts. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I give you a new commandment. Love one another." For me, this is what we're called to do in everything. Join the shout of God's people, who in every place and time give God praise. Thanks be to God. God has given the gift of saving love to all people, no matter who they are. God has given the gift of love even to those I never expected to love. God has given the gift of love even to me. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.